The first reading is from John chapter 18, verse 33, through to chapter 19, verse 4. John 18, starting at verse 33. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews?" They cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no guilt in him."
Thanks for your welcome, Wes. And what do you make of Easter and the place to find out is in God's word. So we're going to pick up that reading now from John chapter 19, picking it up at verse 5, reading through to verse 16. John 19, verse 5. So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers of the law saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me. Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given to you from on above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar." So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement, and in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he delivered him over to them to be crucified.
Jesus said, "If you remain in my word, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Jesus is the ultimate freedom fighter. Now, of course, we Westerners long for freedom. The Kia off-road advert, "Move It" movement that inspires, the Skybet commercial, "Take control, K Kevin Bacon, EE5G, anything, anywhere, anytime. Just a moment's thought blows the cover on these claims on liberty. We're not free geographically, we can't go where we want. We're not free socially. You know, I'd love to sit down to tea with the Queen, meet Clint Eastwood, or spend just a few moments with Keith Richards. But we can't mix and mingle with whomever we want. We're not free financially, economically. We can't have what we want, and we're certainly not free morally. We can't do what we want. So here is something for us to ponder over the Easter weekend. Bondage is the natural state of man. We are all slaves. Most especially, we're not free temporally. We can't live as long as we want. It is appointed for man to die, and after that comes judgment. 9 close friends, relatives, or acquaintances of mine have died since March 2020. So wherever did we get this idea that we are free? How gullible we are. Nowhere is slavery and the slavery of humanity more evident than in the trial of Jesus. And nowhere is human bondage more on display than in Pilate's dealings with Jesus on trial. So I want us to look first at Pilate and his chains, he's enslaved, and secondly at Jesus and his crown, he alone brings freedom. Jesus said, "If you remain in my word, you are truly my disciples, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Pilate and his chains. Of all the characters in the crucifixion of Jesus, Pilate would be, I would suggest, most at home in 21st century London. In one sense, Pilate is at the height of his powers. Pilate was not a strong man, but he had been appointed to possibly the most complex political post in the first century Roman Empire. And yet in Pilate's trial, we see his intellectual confusion, or rather in Jesus' trial, we see Pilate's intellectual confusion, his moral corruption, his man-pleasing ambition. Confusion. Did you notice in our first reading, Pilate's response to Jesus back at the start of the trial? Jesus says, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I've come into this world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to Jesus, "What is truth?" So Pilate refuses to engage with the truth of Jesus. We might even suggest Pilate is intellectually weak. He's confronted with truth, but his diary is too full to consider truth. He's faced with the claims of truth, but other priorities are too pressing to ask questions about truth. Is it that Pilate is too cowardly to think about truth? Or too busy? Or too confused with all the various possibilities to consider truth? Well, we're not really told. I was speaking on Pilate in a talk the other day, and in the square where I lived, a friend of mine, an actor, paused to pass the time of day and was kind enough to ask what I was speaking on that next time I spoke. And I said, "Pilate," and he replied with this quote, "What is truth?" said Pilate, and walked away. Now that quote, I discover, is from Lord Bacon, Francis Bacon, Lord Chancellor, early in the 16th century. It comes from his essay on truth, which I Googled. It's a fascinating piece, takes about 5 minutes to read. But Pilate is such a 21st century figure, isn't he? He shelters under the smokescreen of agnosticism. "What is truth?" said Pilate. And he walked away. I want to suggest that There is the first reason for Pilate's slavery, his bondage. He cannot be liberated until he discovers the truth in Jesus. But not only is Pilate intellectually confused, he's also morally corrupt. He knows Jesus has committed no crime, but he will not actually come out into the open and stand courageously with Jesus. He kind of almost, you think, admires Jesus. He sees that Jesus has done absolutely nothing wrong. And yet he won't come into the open and stand with Jesus. How many city men stand with Pilate in that? Pilate seeks to release Jesus. He offers up Barabbas in place of Jesus. Pilate has Jesus flogged, brings Jesus out before the mob, and points out the frailty of Jesus. Behold the man, ecce homo. There he is, standing, pathetic. Behold the man. Pilate pleads with the mob, take him yourself and crucify him. I find no guilt in him. Three times he says that. I find no guilt in him. Shall I crucify your king? And so here is Pilate, the judge, whose job is to bring justice, who is relied upon to do the right thing, but he will not stand with Jesus. His moral corruption, his intellectual confusion, what is truth, his moral corruption, I find no guilt in him. And finally, his man-pleasing ambition. Pilate, because he won't confront truth and won't stand with Jesus, we find that remains enslaved. Verse 12 of chapter 19 demands serious consideration. From then on, Pilate sought to release Jesus. But the Jews cried out, if you release this man, you're not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar. So consider that title for a moment, Caesar's friend, friend of Caesar. To be considered a friend of Caesar in the Roman Empire was a high accolade indeed. To retire to Rome as Sir Pontius Pilate, friend of Caesar, is to be given a place in the upper chamber. And to emerge from the most troublesome of Rome's vassal states as Caesar's friend would be to have navigated the most turbulent of tasks with extraordinary skill. A place in the Senate, a villa in the sun, golf with Tiberius. Now, if you release this man, you're not a friend of Caesar. And so verse 13, when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out, sat down on the judgment seat, and ultimately then gave him over to be crucified. So why did Pilate hand Jesus over, though he knew he was innocent? Well, because he was intellectually confused. That's to be generous. He's actually intellectually cowardly. He won't explore the truth. Now, because he's morally corrupt, he knows Jesus to be true, but won't actually stand with Jesus. And ultimately, because of his intellectual cowardice and his moral corruption, he finds himself enslaved, well, to his ambition, to his reputation, to his position, in bondage to self-preservation. I spoke on this passage at a partners' meeting for a major accountancy firm just last week. The title they gave me for the talk was Doing the Right Thing Ahead of What is Easy. Pilate did the wrong thing. He did the wrong thing with truth. What is truth? Said Pilate and walked away. He did the wrong thing with justice. I find no guilt in him. He gave him up to be crucified. He would not stand with Jesus. And he did the wrong thing with regards to his own self-preservation when faced with his superior Caesar if you release this man, you're no friend of Caesar. And one of the partners said to me very honestly on the Zoom call, I see myself in every one of those acts. Did you read the FT article on CEOs of the top 250 companies? 95% of the CEOs of the FTSE top 250 describe themselves as, quote, immensely insecure. Their greatest concern, the fear of being found out. What bondage. One young analyst had this to say, especially in this job, he works for a major bank, where one of the key motivators is insecurity. I guess that's why they work 90 hours a week. He said, it would be unbearably stressful if my identity was fixed on something not lasting and dependent each day on my performance. What bondage? May I quote you on that, I asked. Only as long as it doesn't threaten my career, he replied. What slavery. So as Jesus stands in the dock before Pilate, Pilate is on trial. He won't think seriously about truth. He won't stand openly with Jesus. He remains enslaved. And as Jesus, the eternal living Lord Jesus Christ, stands before us today, in the dock, if you like, we are on trial. What will you do with the truth of Jesus? Oh, if you remain in my truth, the truth will set you free. What will you do with the truth of Jesus? What will you do with Jesus himself? I find no guilt in him. You cannot stick anything on Jesus. He's perfect. Will you stand with him? And of course, if we won't take his truth seriously, and if we're sufficiently morally corrupt not to stand with him, we are enslaved, of course. And ultimately, it's appointed for every man to die. And after that comes judgment. So where does freedom come from? Pilate's chains, Jesus' crown. Throughout Jesus' arrest, his trial, his torture, his execution, Jesus emerges as the most glorious opposite of every single character involved in the piece. I personally cannot but marvel at Jesus Christ in the trial, arrest, and crucifixion. His courage, his integrity, his gentleness, his strength, his self-control, his ability to say with absolute precision at every moment precisely the right thing under extraordinary pressure. At least 7 times through the trial, the kingship of Jesus is directly stressed. There are numerous other references, but chapter 18, verse 33, are you a king? Chapter 18, verse 36, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were of this world, my servants would have been fighting. My kingdom is not of this world. Chapter 18, verse 37, so you are a king. Verse 39, do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews? Chapter 19, verse 3, hail the King of the Jews. Verse 11, you would have no authority over me unless it were given to you. Chapter 19, verse 14, behold your King. At the cross, Jesus Christ carried God's judgment at all of our moral and spiritual failure. And as he does so, He throws open the gates of his eternal kingdom. My kingdom is from above, says Jesus. And so as we come to Jesus with all that we've done wrong, forgiven, we are freed from the shackles of this world that bind us. The death of Jesus, as he gives himself on the cross so that he might carry God's judgment in our place, frees us. The death of Jesus throws open the gate of the kingdom of heaven. The death of Jesus enables a restored friendship with God. The death of Jesus, if you like, is a bunker-busting death, a lock-cutting death. The death of Jesus is a liberating death. It frees us. Because we can enter into relationship with the eternal God and creator of this universe, and then we are freed from the shackles of this world. Charles Wesley, in his famous hymn, "My chains fell off, my heart was free, I rose, went forth, and followed thee." But without the eternal kingdom of King Jesus, who has defeated death and now reigns forever, we remain enslaved. Bob Dylan, who sang the famous song, "You Gotta Serve Somebody," the aging hippies listening into this call will remember it. You may be ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You may like to dance. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. Strange he puts those two in the same line. They may call you doctor, they may call you chief, but you've got to serve somebody. It may be the devil, it may be the Lord. You've got to serve somebody. Either imprisoned in this world, we will serve some despot of this world, or liberated by the truth of Jesus, standing with Jesus, we are freed for eternity to serve Jesus. Our bondage has been exposed very graphically, hasn't it, in the last 12 months. We're not free geographically. Well, we're never free geographically, but think of the last 12 months. You are not free geographically. Please don't pretend you are. We're not free socially. Oh, that has been shown, hasn't it, over the last 12 months. We're not free economically or financially. We are not free temporally. We cannot live as long as we want. Over the last 12 months, 9 close friends, acquaintances, relatives of mine have died. I've spoken at the funerals or memorial events for 4 of them. Those 4 all knew Jesus Christ. They'd been freed by him. Sins forgiven through his loving death on the cross. Resurrection life, part of the kingdom of God. They were free. And their funerals were desperately sad, but gloriously certain, confident events. And so we're left from the trial of Jesus with these questions. Will we explore the truth of Jesus? Or will we shy away from it, intellectual cowardice? Will we do the right thing with Jesus and side openly with him? Or will we just put him to one side? Moral corruption. And will we put Jesus and his kingdom above our fear of man? True liberty. Well, I wish you a very, very happy Easter indeed, and hope you find time to think through some of those things over the next few days. I'm going to lead us in prayer, and then we will have our final song. Jesus said, anyone on the side of truth listens to me. We thank you for the truth of Jesus Christ, our Father in heaven. We pray that you would help each one of us to see this truth with great clarity. We pray that you would enable us to surrender to Jesus and so to be truly free. In Jesus' name, amen.